What's up and welcome to Season 2, Episode 1, Take 2 of the Industry Outsiders Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Lowry. With me is Josh Hensel.
I am here, and this is totally not our second attempt at this.
Yeah. So, we're doing some no webcam, and no, we were using Skype, and that didn't work out. We're on Discord now, so it's just been a while, and we've got like new setups. Josh has a new PC. I'm in a new house. Mm-hmm. We bought a house. And, you know, things are just getting going for the first time and having some difficulties today.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I got a matcha latte. I've been really doing the matcha latte thing lately.
Yeah, I've been drinking a little bit of everything. I just make whatever my roommate makes me at the cafe. So
yeah, last night.
Nice. Like today we had the Earl Grey latte and then like whatever random iced coffee she made me. I was like, all right. She's like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I'll honestly take whatever you make me because I'm not picky. So
yeah.
So I guess we should probably rehash what we talked about the previous attempt then.
Yeah. So what have you been playing lately?
Well, as we discussed before that nobody else will ever hear, I've been playing a whole lot of Final Fantasy 14 lately. I picked it back up about a month ago because a couple of mutual friends of ours were playing and they kind of tempted me with it. So I was like, well, I've tried this game multiple times before. It didn't really stick, but I'm like, whatever. I have an active sub, so I'll just play. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because I actually just paid attention this time or what, but it finally clicked with me, and I've put about 70 hours into it over the past month or so, and it's been a very refreshing experience, honestly, because as much as I love World of Warcraft, lately the grind in that game has become kind of stale. And it's nice to kind of get that MMO grind and have it feel fresh and new again, even if it's not what I'm used to.
Yeah, and Jill and I started actually playing Final Fantasy 14 with Josh last night for the first time. After we spent like 2 hours making characters and like trying to pick a last name for our Final Fantasy family. And it's been fun. We actually hopped on Warcraft a couple months ago just to like screw around. We kind of just got the itch again. Mm-hmm. And that was fun, but we walked away from it because it was just kind of too compulsive. It's like we you know, paying the subscription fee makes us feel like we have to jump into the game like once a day and just do something, or we're like wasting our time.
You see, that's the thing about that in a game like World of Warcraft is it's a great game for that. But you have to get to level cap first, which is the shitty part. Because at level cap, there are so many things you can do where you can just log in for half an hour, do some daily quests, run a dungeon, do an island expedition, and then you can just peace out. Like, there's so many things accessible to you, but you just got to get through that grind first, which can be pain in the ass, at least the first time around, especially if you know what you're trying to get to.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, we're not the type to try to rush it, especially like we don't play MMOs very often. So when we do, we want to like take our time and know how to play and get that. I enjoy that level one experience. Like you're getting levels often early on, and you're just like doing that. So I haven't even made it to like end game content in any MMO.
Yeah, and that's fun. And then I feel like in Final Fantasy, it's a little different where I feel like that beginning is almost like the game hazing you, because sure, you get the level one experience, you gain levels, but at the same time, there's just, at least in my opinion, there are so many things that distract you. And I don't think the UI in that game or the map is perfect, even though it works fine once you get used to it, but you kind of have to just force yourself to just go, and then you'll figure it all out as you go. And it's just like, it's kind of rough. And if you can make it through that, I think you could get through it and just play. To keep playing without thinking about it like I did, because it's just, I don't know, not that it's bad at all, it's just kind of intimidating.
Yeah, and we're going in kind of a low pressure situation. We just decided to try it because you were playing it, some of our other friends are playing it, and then once we said that we were going to, like, you know, invest at least the free trial, which is free to level 35, everyone else who like crawled out of the woodwork to be like, oh, I still play Final Fantasy 14, I'll hop on the server with you guys. So now having a bigger community is kind of cool. It's more encouragement to play.
And what I love about that is that happened in like not even the past 24 hours. Like, you guys started playing last night, and then this morning I posted a picture of a screenshot on Facebook, and then everybody, like you said, came out of the woodworks, even though previously I had been posting screenshots, but all of a sudden I post with new people and then everybody's like, oh wait, what, I could do that too now, yeah, cool.
Yeah, which makes it more fun. That's cool to get that MMO experience if we end up do grouping it with like a lot of people. And the game runs very well for something that is so much more graphically intense than World of Warcraft. It runs probably twice as better on both of our machines.
Yeah, and we discussed this in the previous take where I mentioned that even on my old, moderately shitty PC, the game ran flawlessly, and it's even better where I am now, and I haven't even really messed with the graphical settings. But one thing that literally just kind of occurred to me was that Final Fantasy XIV was a game that, even though it came out, flopped, got rebooted, and then succeeded, all of this has happened within this past decade, whereas World of Warcraft is a game that came out in 2004. And they've basically just been building on top of it for 15 years. And it's like, it works, but sometimes it feels like no matter what kind of computer you're playing on, it's a game that's held together with glue and popsicle sticks.
Yeah, it's choppy. The characters are very polygonal. The outfits are just flat textures on top of them. Like, it does not look good, Warcraft at least. In Final
A lot of the
Fantasy.
newer stuff does, but you got to get to that point too still.
True.
It's rough. Like, and even then, like, I might just be used to it, but you are right. It's definitely a very specific kind of aesthetic that may not be for everyone and definitely looks kind of weird compared to Final Fantasy, but it's
Right.
definitely kind of its own thing, and I don't think I would trade that for the world, but I see
Yeah.
where you're coming from.
And like, I'm no Final Fantasy fanboy. I mean, I've only played through 7 and 9 and little bits of a bunch of other games, but jumping into like this JRPG like anime fantasy world gives me more of that vibe of like a Sword Art Online or something like that where
Well, yeah, because it's Japanese.
Yeah, like
Or WoW is a much more Western game.
yeah, I just enjoy the avatars better, and like I know Jill enjoys the aesthetic of her cat girl way more, and it just seems like something we're going to be investing more time in than we ever did Warcraft, which is scary to think about.
Yeah, it's scary, but it's exciting. It's
Yeah.
like a new thing, and I like that you guys can find something that you could potentially commit to, because I know that I have always been on board with WoW, and you guys have tried more than once, but it never really stuck, and I can totally understand why. But you're going to have to find that balance once you actually do get invested in the game. So if you are ever concerned, which I know you've mentioned before, about spending too much time playing it,
Yeah.
you kind of got to find that balance, because I went through that when I was in high school, so I got it out of my system. So now I can just come and go as I please.
Right, yeah. I mean, as long as we can, hop on for like longer
longer
sessions
sessions
on
on
the
the
weekend,
weekend,
and
I
I still
still
want to
want to
have
have
time
time
to
to
play
play
my
my
other
other
games
games
that
that
I'm
I'm
playing
playing
right
right
now,
now,
which,
which,
I'm
I'm
starting
starting
to
to
like
like
move, pull
pull
back
back
a
a
little
little
bit
bit
from
from
trying
trying
to
to
get
get
my
my
hands
hands
on
on
every
every
new
new
release
release
and
and
also,
also,
like
like
test
test
out
out
a
a
million
million
games
games
and
and
stuff.
stuff.
It
It
all
all
just
just
kind
kind
of
of
became
became
too
too
much,
much,
and
and
that's
that's
between
between
buying
buying
a
a
house
house
and
and
getting
getting
that
that
all
all
set
set
up
up
and
and
trying
trying
to
to
like
like
shift
shift
to
to
a
a
blog
blog
and
and
write
write
more
more
about
about
games
games
and
and
do
do
everything.
everything.
It
It
just
just
became
became
too
too
much.
much.
And
And
as
as
far
far
as
as
like
like
industry
industry
outsiders
outsiders
goes,
goes,
like
like
getting
getting
back
back
to
to
podcasting
podcasting
once
once
a
a
week
week
is
is
probably
probably
the
the
healthiest
healthiest
thing
thing
we
we
can
can
do
do
to
to
not
not
just
just
be
be
out
out
of
of
our
our
minds
minds
all
all
the
the
time
time
about
about
it.
it. Yeah. And I feel like recently I kind of found that peace in my mind where it's like, you've been doing your thing, and then I just kind of sit here like anybody who's listened to me on the show before would know that I don't play a whole lot of new games, honestly. And like, I'll even if like during E3 or the Game Awards, they'll show off stuff, and I'll be like, oh, that looks cool, maybe I'll actually try that. But then it comes out and I don't play it, and then I
Yeah.
kind of feel bad about it, and I kind of dwell on that. But now I'm at the point where it's like, screw it. If I'm only playing the same four games for the rest of my life, as long as I'm still enjoying them, why should I worry about other games? If they come into my life, that's fine, but I shouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, gaming
Gaming
should
should
definitely
definitely
be
be
something
something
that's
that's relaxing
relaxing and not
and
something
something
that's
that's like
like pulling
pulling
your
your
entire
entire
life
life
apart.
apart. Yeah, exactly. Like, the only thing that gets me now is like, I'll go to the store every week, like to grocery shop or whatever, and I'll always kind of breeze through the electronics department, and I'll see like it's almost always a Switch game, but I'll walk by every week and I'll be like, ooh, maybe I should try that, because I do want to have more Switch games, because like I play my Switch more now than I ever have. So it's like, I want to have more options, but at the same time, it's like, I don't need to spend a ton of money if I'm still happy playing Smash Brothers and Hyrule Warriors. Whereas, like, oh, do I have to buy Pokken Tournament or, replay Breath of the Wild, which I might actually do. But I don't know. I feel like I just want to go with the flow at this point because
Yeah.
I deal with enough outside of that.
Yeah, definitely, like work and everything. And I picked up a PlayStation Classic, which, everyone would say it doesn't have the best 20 games on it, but it's totally easily hackable, and that's what I did. So I'm playing a ton of retro JRPGs and stuff on it. I actually just played through, after I finished Resident Evil 2, I decided to play through Resident Evil 3 on that, and now I'm playing Vandal Hearts 2 on it, which I was never able to play in the past. Like, Vandal Hearts 1 is a strategy RPG for PlayStation 1, which was like the first real RPG I ever played. And it is just like I played through it so many times, and it's like one of my top three favorite games, and I was never able to play the sequel because at the time where I realized I would want to play the sequel, it was like a $50 disc already. And it's always been that. Sometimes you'll see it for more than that. So I never picked it up because I try not to be really a retro game collector because that can be so expensive. And now that I can just play the ROM of it, I'm, all these years later, finally getting to do that. And I find it so relaxing to sit down and just play an old PlayStation JRPG.
Yeah, and honestly, I appreciate retro games. I don't play a whole lot of them, and the idea of collecting them seems kind of neat. But like, one podcast I listen to, it's called The Completely Unnecessary Podcast. It's by a dude on YouTube. He does a lot of NES stuff. Like, he has like a complete NES collection, and they just kind of talk about it between him being a collector. The other guy works at a game store, and like, they talk a lot about retro games and the collecting scene and all kinds of like game preservation stuff. And it all sounds so awful that I feel like I should just never, ever get anywhere near it.
Well,
Like,
it's crazy. Like, you would think, it would be a fantasy to just be have a stack of all the Nintendo 64 games that you used to have. And I grew up through Nintendo and Genesis, and I would love to still have that hardware around, but trying to collect it all these years later is a
is a
huge
huge
pain
pain
in
in
the
the
ass
ass
because
because
literally,
literally,
like,
like,
you
you
can
can
go
go
on
on GameStop.com
GameStop.com and
and
buy
buy
a
a
copy
copy
of
of
Earthbound
Earthbound
64
64
and
and
bring
bring
it
it
home
home
and
and
open
open
the
the
cartridge,
cartridge,
and
and
it'll
it'll
be
be
a
a
bootleg
bootleg
cartridge,
cartridge,
and
and
you
you
never
never
know
know
what
what
you're
you're
getting.
getting. Especially considering if you bought Earthbound 64 at all, because that's not a real game.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Earthbound 64, just Earthbound on SNES. Earthbound 64, there was an Earthbound 64, wasn't there?
There was supposed to be, but it never
But
happened.
it
It
got
got
canceled.
canceled.
Was
Was
that
that
for
for it was for
the
DD.
60 DD? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
I
know
don't know
why
why
that
that
popped
popped
into
into
my
my
head.
head.
But,
But,
there's
there's
things
things
like
like
that
that
where
where
you
you
can
can
people
people
buy
buy
bootleg
bootleg
shit
shit
all
all
the
the time
time off of
off of
eBay
eBay
and
and
off
off
of
of
GameStop.
GameStop.
So
So
now
now
you
you
have
have
to
to
know
know
the
the
difference
difference
between
between
a
a
real
real
and
and
a
a
fake,
fake,
and
and
you're
you're
spending
spending
way
way
more
more
money
money
than
than
it's
it's probably
probably worth.
worth.
When,
When,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I
I
don't
don't
need
need
all
all
these
these
games
games
around.
around.
Like,
Like,
I
I
don't
don't
need
need
stacks
stacks
of
of
shit
shit
in
in
my
my
house.
house. Yeah, again though, but that's the thing about that is like, with the way I frame it through listening to the other shows and they talk about it's really more of the idea of like people who are trying to be like hardcore collectors, whereas like if you want to have a small collection of retro games, which are the games you grew up on, I feel like to an extent that can be feasible and enjoyable as long as you kind of just stay in your lane. Whereas
Yeah.
where it gets shitty is when you try to collect massive amounts of stuff or try to collect every game for a certain system, which is, definitely way past anything we would ever even think about doing. But that's where it gets real shitty. Like, it's like cutthroat. People are being real shady about it. And like, it's just, I never would have thought that was how that was.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
it's a
whole
whole
new
new
lifestyle.
lifestyle.
Like,
Like,
it's a
it's a
lifestyle.
lifestyle.
Collecting
Collecting
retro
retro
games
games
is
is
a
a
slippery
slippery
slope
slope
that
that
I
I'm really
really committed
committed
to
to
not
not
getting
getting
into.
into.
I don't mind picking up something and putting it on my shelf. Like, I have a Japanese copy of Vandal Hearts. I just bought it because I was at a con and it was there, and it was like 20 bucks. But I'm not out to buy like the $200 Suikoden disc.
Yeah.
Fucking no way. Not when, a lot of these games are available in one form or another legally, and for a fraction of, the aftermarket price that we're looking at these days, I think it will probably only get worse as we get, further into having less copies, physical copies of these games that aren't made anymore around.
Yeah, especially with newer games mostly leaning towards digital future, whereas when those games are old enough to be considered for a future generation as quote unquote retro, the availability for those is going to be coming even less scarce, especially with, now they're like, oh, here's an Xbox that only is digital, which is, I don't can't think of many other things that would have done that or have done that yet. But I mean, if that's the future we're going towards, I don't really like the idea of that, especially for game preservation, where every other game now is online only and it's connected to some server that could go away at any point in time in the future and then be lost forever.
So about that, I mean, Microsoft announced an all digital edition of Xbox One S, which IGN dubbed the sad edition and just kind of crapped all over it.
As they should.
Yeah, it was announced at a really poor price point of two MSRP to $250, which I think completely misses the mark and just shows that Microsoft still isn't necessarily reading the market
Not at all.
as they should. I think an all digital version should be like, $200.
It should be at least less than the Xbox S.
Yeah,
I can
well,
get that for less than that and still be able to have games on my shelf, which is just not everybody's into that, but I like to have my games on my shelf because it looks nice and it makes me happy.
yeah.
So it should be cheaper, I feel like, because you don't have to buy, or I don't know, I guess you do have to buy the games, but you don't, I don't know. If it's going to be pared down like that, if you're not going to have a disk drive in your system, if you're putting less money into parts, why should we be putting less money into buying it? Or
Right,
more
and
money into buying it, rather.
so I guess their justification for that is that the MSRP on the Xbox One S is still $299, but you never see them sell for that. You typically see them sell for less than $250 any week out of the year. Some retailers having a sale on Xbox One S, and that includes a 4K Blu-ray player. And now that you've removed that 4K Blu-ray player, you're charging $250, and when that hits the shelves, people aren't like you said, you can still buy the older version with the disk drive for less money than this new version without the disk drive.
Yeah, not to mention that there's no difference in that if you do that, because if you buy the old version with a disk drive, you can still only buy digital games if you want. Like, that's still an option. There's no difference.
True. And I've never, in this generation, I've never taken one of my systems, disconnected it from the internet and tried to play any game off of a disc. I just haven't done that. You probably can, but every game these days is, it goes gold, which is, when they decide, okay, that's the code, we're gonna press it to disc and start shipping it. It goes gold in a pretty buggy state half the time. And there's always a day one patch that's massive that you have to download. Even though you've bought the disc, if you want your game to play efficiently, you've got to download the day one patch. So we're not really owning anything. I mean, like, having it on your shelf is great, but we're not in a reality, I don't think, where you can live up in a mountain somewhere and order a copy of, Red Dead Redemption 2 and just pop it in your PlayStation. And it's going to play just fine with no internet connection.
Yeah.
So as far as like the, all digital versus physical, it's like we're kind of already in the all digital reality, even though we have physical discs. All that disc is doing is it's checking if you own the game, and it's installing and downloading and
The
updating the
disc is
second
just
you
a
buy it.
license, basically.
Right.
Like.
Right. And if we move to an all digital future, when your disc is your license, how do you get the license off the disc if there's no disc drive on, let's say, a PlayStation 5, which I don't think will be true, obviously, but if Microsoft is moving towards an all digital future, but you own a copy of Halo 5 on disc, which I do, how do I get my Halo 5 license on my new Xbox that's only digital?
You know, that's a good question, and I literally never would have thought of that.
These are the problems that no one's thinking about. Well, I think gamers think about it, and I don't think manufacturers are. And
No, because like, oh, maybe they'll buy it again. I mean, I feel like that's very presumptuous of me to assume, but that's the idea I come up with. Like, oh, maybe you'll just have to buy the game again since you can't put your disc in your new system, even though you already own the game.
right. Or, subscribe to Game Pass where the game is, or you can get a temporary license for it or something. I don't know, but I feel like as far as the next generation goes, I've really enjoyed my time with my Sony PlayStation 4 this generation. I was a huge Xbox 360 person for the 8 years prior, and I think I'm guaranteed to go with a PlayStation 5 if I had to choose
Yep.
between the two for, this next generation.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm in the same boat, even though I don't currently own an Xbox One, but I have a PC, so I could play most of those games anyways, if I wanted to.
Yeah,
Which lead,
go ahead.
which leads me into another thought, although we could finish up any point you have first, is like, actually, no, finish what you want to say, and then we'll get into what I do, because I want to talk about some things that have happened since we've been off the air,
Yeah.
just to touch on that, I've specifically caught my interest and likely would have caught your interest too, but let's just finish this before we segue into that.
Yeah, so all I was going to say is that I
I think
think in
in
the
the future,
future, I
I
probably
probably
won't
won't
buy
buy
an
an
Xbox
Xbox
anymore.
anymore.
They're
They're
moving
moving
towards
towards
letting
letting
us
us
play,
play, Game
Game Pass
Pass
games
games
on
on
PC.
PC.
So,
So
like,
like
Halo
Halo Infinite
Infinite
is
is
coming
coming
to
to PC,
PC.
and I
I
can't
can't
think
think
of
of
whatever
whatever
exclusive
exclusive
I
I
would
would
care
care
about
about
from
from
Microsoft,
Microsoft,
but
but
Halo
Halo
Infinite
Infinite
is
is
supposed
supposed
to
to
come
come
to
to
PC.
PC.
So
So
I
I
have a
have a
PC,
PC,
and
and
I
I
will
will
just
just
probably
probably
jump
jump
on
on
Halo
Halo
on
on
PC.
PC.
Oh,
Oh,
the
the
Master
Master
Chief
Chief
Collection
Collection
was
was
announced
announced
for
for
PC.
PC. That's what I was going to get into when I was seeing other things that have happened while we've been gone, because that happened. They're porting the Master Chief Collection to PC, for lack of a better term, and they're starting with Reach, which I think is very exciting because that kind of came out to be a thing right around when I bought my new PC, and I was like, holy shit, there are a few things I could think of more that I would like to have than Halo Reach being a part of my life again.
Oh,
Because that's
yes.
objectively the best Halo game, in my opinion. Like, I have a lot of fond memories. It's very nostalgia of playing Halo 3, but in pretty much every other way, I think that Reach is vastly superior, and I'm excited to start with that.
Yeah, I
Yeah, I
think
think
it's
it's
really
really
cool
cool
that
that
they
they
announced
announced
it
it
for
for
PC,
PC,
the
the
entire
entire
collection,
collection,
but
but
it's
it's
even
even
more
more
fulfilling
fulfilling
that
that
they're
they're
launching
launching
one
one
game
game
at
at
a
a
time.
time.
They're
They're
going
going
in
in
order,
order.
as
They
far as I
learned.
know. They did because
The
the
Master
Master
Chief
Chief Collection
Collection
was
was
a
a
buggy
buggy
mess,
mess,
and
and
I
I
wasn't
wasn't
around
around
for
for
its
its
launch.
launch.
But when
But
I
when I
did
did
get
get
my
my
Xbox
Xbox
about
about
3 years
3 years
after
after
my
my
Xbox
Xbox
One,
One,
about
about
3 years
3 years
after
after
launch,
launch,
it
it
was
was
still
still
a
a
buggy
buggy
mess,
mess.
and
Yeah.
the
The
population
population
was
was
very
very
low.
low.
So
So
on
on
PC,
PC,
I'm
I'm
excited
excited
to.
to.
I'm
I'm
gonna
gonna
buy
buy
it
it
again
again
for
for
PC,
PC.
and
And
I'm
I'm
gonna
gonna
buy
buy
each
each
game.
game.
I
I
don't
don't
know
know
if
if
you'll
you'll
be
be
able
able
to
to
buy
buy
like
like
a
a
master
master
license,
license,
like
like
the
the
whole
whole
game
game
at
at
once,
once,
the
the
collection
collection
at
at
once,
once,
like
like
pay
pay
for
for
it
it
all
all
up
up
front.
after the fact, yeah.
I don't know
I
if
don't
it'd
know if
be
they're
like
all
a.
out.
Yeah, I hope.
I don't want all of them anyways, to be honest with you. I'd play 3, I'd play Reach, I'd play 4 was on there, but I don't see myself really, at least for multiplayer purposes, revisiting 1 or 2.
Yeah, I
I
see
see myself
myself paying for the whole
whole collection,
collection. Hopefully,
hopefully
if
if
it's
it's
cheap
cheap
enough,
enough.
if
If
it's
it's
more
more
than
than
$60,
$60,
they can
they can
fuck
fuck
themselves.
themselves.
But
But
if
if
it's,
it's,
$60
$60
for
for
the
the
entire
entire
collection
collection
or
or
less,
less,
I
I
see
see
myself
myself
buying
buying
it
it
on
on
PC,
PC,
only
only
because
because
I
I
think
think
it'll
it'll
be
be
exciting
exciting
as
as
they
they
drop
drop
to
to
be
be
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
Reach
Reach
is
is
out.
out.
Everyone's
Everyone's
gonna
gonna
jump
jump
on
on
Reach.
Reach.
Everyone's
Everyone's
gonna
gonna
play
play
through
through
the
the
campaign
campaign
with
with
their
their
friends,
friends,
or
or
like that's a
that's a
four-person
four-person
campaign.
campaign.
And
And
then
then
we
we
can
can
all
all
hop
hop
on
on
multiplayer
multiplayer
and
and
play
play
a
a
lot
lot
of
of
it.
it.
All
All
of
of
a
a
sudden,
sudden,
a
a
couple
couple
months
months
later,
later,
hopefully,
hopefully,
Combat
Combat
Evolved
Evolved
drops.
drops.
And
And
everyone's
everyone's
gonna
gonna
be
be
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
the
the
whole,
whole,
you know, hopefully
hopefully
the
the
whole
whole
community
community
will
will
migrate
migrate
to
to
Halo
Halo
1,
1,
and
and
we
we
can
can
have
have
that
that
experience
experience
that
that
we've
we've
all
all
been
been
missing
missing
for
for
so
so
many
many
years.
years.
We're
We're
all
all
playing
playing
the
the
same
same
game.
game.
It's
It's
a
a
Halo
Halo
release,
release,
huge
huge
community,
community,
tons
tons
of
of
multiplayer
multiplayer
events
events
happening,
happening,
and
and
when
when
that
that
starts
starts
to
to
get
get
stale,
stale,
Halo
Halo
2
2
drops.
drops. Yeah, and I agree, but I feel like, that'll that may be how that goes, but I think just by the nature of the fact that it is now going to be on PC, is going to open up the game to an entire new audience outside of people who might not have been playing the games on console recently. So I feel like just by being on PC, there's going to be a much bigger community by default on any one of the given games.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it'll be exciting to I always I have a history of like playing through all the Halo games once a year, and I've been slacking on it lately, and I think this is
Remember
gonna be
last
where.
year we tried to play Reach and they kept disconnecting us from each other while we were doing the campaign?
Right, because like what, you were trying to play on Xbox 360, I was playing on Xbox One. And I was playing like a physical disc too, it wasn't even a download, and like what a mess. On PC, there should be less compatibility issues, I would assume. Better network code, and I think my only disadvantage is I will still probably play with an Xbox controller.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you're definitely handicapping yourself, but if that's how you're comfortable playing, all power to you. It's not going to make it any worse for you.
Right. And definitely that's how I'd want to play through the campaigns at least.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe not so much competitively, but.
So I'm very much looking forward to that. But what else got announced? Borderlands
Well,
3?
Borderlands 3 got announced, and I loved watching all of the drama unfold about the timed exclusivity of the PC version because people are giant babies. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you have to buy. It's all you have to get a different launcher for it. But everybody has their own goddamn launcher now, so like, it's not like you can't buy the game. It's not like it's gonna run any worse. And I doubt most of the people use half the bells and whistles that Steam offers them. And it'll hit there eventually, but I just think everybody blew that completely out of proportions because I think people just hate on Epic because they resent them because of Fortnite.
Yeah, which is a shame because Fortnite is such a good quality game. I don't play Fortnite, but we've obviously played Fortnite. To anyone who's listened, if anyone's listening to this, means they subscribe to us for the months that we weren't even recording episodes. So they're old school, and we were playing Fortnite when it first, the weekend it launched, when it was a choppy mess, Battle Royale.
Oh, yeah.
And we went back and revisited it multiple times, and it's always fun. It's always new. If you asked me if it was going to blow up to be the biggest game on the planet, I would have never
Nah, me
guessed.
neither. And it's not even so much that it blew up and that it's always improving. It's like every time I play, there is a consistent, notable improvement in some way, shape, or form, whether it be in controls or in just connection or graphics or new gameplay options or new, like, because they're updating it constantly. And I'm sure that's very taxing on their people because I have read that a lot of Epic employees are kind of dealing with a whole lot of constant crunch time because of how frequently and how majorly that game gets updated. I mean, with even literally this weekend where they're like, oh, here's, literally play as the army from Avengers and play as Thanos and collect the Infinity Stones and then fight people who have like Captain America's shield and Thor's axe and shit. Like it's crazy. And I don't understand, like, okay, sure, a lot of kids play Fortnite, people seem to, well, sometimes they're justified, but like seem to hate on things that kids like, and I don't seem to know why. It's like, sure, there can be some shitty kids on there, but like, why act like it's beneath you or if it's just a stupid thing? But it's like, clearly it's not because it's the biggest thing in the world, as you said before. So, like, yeah, get over yourself.
Exactly. It's like, people used to hate on Minecraft, which I never played, because Minecraft got so big and it was a kid, the kid game. And Fortnite is just so high quality and it's not corrupting your children. There's nothing really bad about it.
It'll end up being kind of addictive, but I mean, that's most any game can be like that if it's fun enough. Like,
I
I
think
can
hanging
hang
out
out
with
with
your
your friends
friends
is
is
addictive.
addictive. So it's
It's
no
no
different
different
than
than like,
coming home
coming home
and
and
popping
popping
on
on
your
your
game
game
and
and
hanging
hanging
out
out
with
with
your
your
friends
friends
is
is
really
really
fun.
fun.
And,
And,
whether, that's
your
your
kids
kids
are
are gonna
gonna
do
do
that
that
whether
whether
Fortnite
Fortnite
is
is
around
around
or
or not.
not.
Exactly. And it's like you can hate on Fortnite all you want, but in that situation, you're the only one who's miserable because everybody else that's actually playing that game is having a fucking blast with it, and Epic themselves are laughing all the way to the bank. Like, so why don't you just stop worrying about it or just like, I don't know, just shut up. Like, I'm sick of hearing this shit, honestly. I don't want to be negative myself, but still, there's a limit.
Right. You don't have to play if you don't want to. Like I said, I don't play it. Like, you don't really play Fortnite. Once in a while, you pop in because they added golf carts and airplanes and something worth checking out.
Yeah.
But, you know, for people who play Fortnite as a like their main game, more power to them. They're just having fun.
Yeah. And as long as you're playing it within reason and not letting it affect your actual life, you know, go for it.
Yeah, and there's always going to be, the outlier people who get sucked in too hard on any game.
Yeah, or even any sort of, like, influencer or something like that who may be playing these games where it's like, you hate on them, but I feel like more often than not, you might just be resentful of how much more successful than you they are. Like, right. And then you act like they were just handed everything. But, you know, after a certain point, I feel like you can, for a while, you can probably, I mean, I'm assuming this, honestly, I have no idea, you coast on it, and it becomes a little easier once you solidify yourself as that influencer. But, I mean, you got to work your ass off to get to that point. So it's not like you can just, like, I feel like that kind of criticism is unwarranted because they earned that position that they can now live comfortably with.
Right. And anybody, any influencer who's made all their money, well, who appears to have been, found huge success through Fortnite, was successful before Fortnite, and Fortnite came along and just amplified viewers.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because there are quite a few people that specifically happened with Fortnite and then became huge because of that.
Yeah.
So there, but the thing about that I'm wondering now is, will they be able to continue that momentum if and when Fortnite ever fades away?
That's a good question.
Yep, and that also reminds me of another thing that happened in our absence, is that Apex Legends happened, and that was the biggest game ever for a good month, and now it's just sort of losing that momentum very quickly. It was, when it's made by Respawn, who make Titanfall, they're kind of teasing it. There are rumors about it. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, here's our battle royale game. It's coming out tomorrow. And it just exploded and everybody was playing it. And, people were surprised at how quickly it dethroned Fortnite on Twitch and stuff. But I mean, they feel like they delayed trying to get their seasonal content going. And I feel like that's where their downfall was. Because I tried playing it, I gave it a good effort, and I don't know if it's just in general, like the Battle Royale genre, or that game specifically, just, I couldn't get into it. But I would still go back and play Fortnite, but I don't know if I'd bother with Apex again, despite the fact that I know it's not a bad game, just kind of,
So, Apex dropped, I mean, no one really saw Apex coming. It did get really big, and it still is very, very successful, but it Like you said, it was like the biggest game for a month, and now it's Fortnite's coming right back. Part of that was due to Electronic Arts, who owns Respawn, paying influencers tons of money to play Apex Legends, for 30 days. Like, they paid, it came out, I think Kotaku posted the article that they paid Ninja, who's known for streaming Fortnite, they paid him $1 million to play Apex on Twitch for 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as that was over, he went right back to Fortnite. Because, Fortnite is...
That's his bread and butter.
Yeah. I thought Apex... I only hopped in, like, two times. Because, for one, Battle Royale is kind of waning on me. I don't sit there and play Battle Royale. You can only play in groups. There's no solo.
Yeah. Which means that unless you're playing with two other friends that you can coordinate with, it's a disaster. Despite the fact that that game does have a lot of impressive tools to communicate with your teammates, even if you aren't on voice comms.
Right.
But I don't really I don't like that. Like, it's kind of hard to pay attention with. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get into the details of this game because it's, there's a lot to it. Like, running around trying to pick up all these weapons and attachments and knowing what's good, what's bad, what you can build off of. While you're doing that, your teammates have already run a mile away, especially if you're new and they're not. Like, they'll leave your ass behind.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that it has a lot of qualities that Call of Duty Blackout does that I like, because it's just a first-person shooter, which I prefer over third-person like Fortnite. There's no crafting per se. You're not building forts. But I don't like crafting. So I like, dropping in, scrambling for guns. The attachments basically attach themselves if you're not thinking about it too hard. I think it's cool that they have heroes.
I don't think the attachments are necessary. You should just have weapons. Like,
Yeah, I get that. It does seem like a little bit extra to be like, oh, here's a 2x scope, here's a 3x scope, here's level 1 body armor, here's level 3 body armor, like all this shit. There's a
yeah.
lot. And one thing that's cool about Apex that Blackout doesn't have is it has heroes, and each hero has a power, like an ultimate ability,
Like
basically.
Overwatch
Right. And that's
or a
really
MOBA.
cool. Because you can call in airstrikes, one of the guys that I was using. I think that's
Yep.
really cool. I thought the graphics were really nice, and I thought it ran really good. But it's
Yeah, it's
still
very
that,
nice.
it's that preparation of like, we dropped, and we've got, we survived the first 30 seconds. So now we're gonna, crawl around for 10 minutes to get killed as soon as we see somebody.
Exactly. Now, I mean, this, I feel like this is something that can happen in any battle royale style game. Like, I've seen it happen plenty of times with Fortnite, even though it doesn't really happen frequently in that game, at least for me. And even so, in that game, I don't mind it as much. Where it's like in Apex, I was just getting annoyed for the most part. Where in the games where you either jump, you land, you die immediately, and then you start over, or you jump, you, at least as for me, you jump, you land, you and your teammates run around for 15 minutes picking shit up, and then after 15 minutes of nothing, then you get into a fight and then you probably die. And I know that's a whole get good mindset that people have for that, and I know that that can be done. You gotta just kind of gotta get used to it. You gotta keep playing, get better. I don't have the patience for that anymore, so all power to you if you're doing it, but it's not for me.
It's like, it's not just you have to get good. You and your friends have to get good. And like, here's this new game, and everyone's competing to be the best at the new game. And if you don't have a group of competitive players that you're always playing with every single night, who can migrate to this new game as soon as it drops and
Yeah.
try to be the best, that first week, you're jumping in and you're just, being fed to the sharks, basically. And that's not really fun.
Yeah, no, it's not. Because when it came out, a lot of my friends that I play, like my friends from like Discord that I play like WoW or whatever with, they were playing it at the time and I was like, cool, I want to try, but I couldn't really run it on PC at that point in time. So I tried it by myself on PS4. But even if I could have played it on PC, half the people that I initiate a lot of the gaming that we do are on the other side of the country, so we're constantly 3 hours apart. So it's getting increasingly difficult to coordinate with some of those people, so I never end up playing with them, which is part of the reason why I ended up migrating to a different server on Discord, playing with like mostly real life friends and then a couple other people, and that's how Final Fantasy 14 ended up happening for me. Like, so that aside, though, I've been thinking about other things that have happened since this is the old news episode, since we have a lot to catch up on. But a couple of things that come to mind is that, one of the last episodes that we did was right after the Game Awards and when Smash Ultimate came out. At the Game Awards, obviously, they announced Joker as the first DLC character. And before the game came out, they announced Piranha Plant as the bonus DLC character. And between then and now, both of them have come out, and both of them have been fantastic characters. I feel like Piranha Plant was a lot of fun and proof of concept that as long as they can acquire the rights to a character, they can make almost anything work if you can successfully play as a potted plant in Super Smash Bros. And have it be really fun. So that's cool. That's pretty much all I have to say about Piranha Plant because it's like almost like a joke character, but I feel like it's not because it's viable to play, which is I think is neat. But Joker, people were waiting on them because they said in a directed like, oh. In by the end of April, we'll have Smash Bros. Ultimate 3.0, and then Joker will likely come around the same time. And then we were waiting for about a month and a half, and we didn't hear anything. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're like, "Hey, Joker comes out tomorrow, and so does Smash Ultimate Version 3.0, which also comes with a stage builder tool, which as far as I'm aware, got leaked, literally leaked in an actual commercial for Smash Brothers, like." Which I thought was pretty funny, but what are you going to do? They may even have done that on purpose and just acted like it was a leak. But that I was kind of skeptic about simply because the stage builder is not a new thing to Smash Brothers, and it was kind of awful and bare bones in the old games. But I'm genuinely shocked by some of the amazingly creative things people are making in the stage builder in Smash. And a lot of the obnoxious meme content that people are making is really fun to see. It's been this huge thing. It's almost like Mario Maker 2 before Mario Maker 2 actually comes out, which is another thing that happened while we were gone. They announced Mario Maker 2, but that's whatever. I'll probably won't play that. I'll just watch it because that's the fun way to do Mario Maker. But Joker, I'm not familiar with Persona, but I think he's a really cool stylistic character. I like a lot of the themes and music that come with him. But him as a character, I mean, he seems like he's faithful to the game. As people have been saying to like where he is in Persona, I don't have any reference, but he's got some characteristics that I feel kind of are similar to other characters like Cloud or Bayonetta, but that's fine because they make it his own. But I was shocked at how fun he was to play and how unique they made him and how cool his stage was. And I don't know where you fall on that because I haven't heard a lot about it from you, but I think it worked out perfectly, and I can't wait to see what they do next with another character.
Yeah, I really like him. I think he's a lot of fun. Like I enjoy Smash Ultimate more than any other Smash that I've played. And the fact that they were gonna have Joker in it, I thought it was really cool, especially for me as someone who hasn't been fully like absorbed into the Smash ethos. And they made him, they did a great job with him. He's fun to control. He has a gun, which is kind of neat for a real gun, which is kind of neat for a Smash character.
Yeah, I thought about that when he first dropped, but at the same time, I remembered that Bayonetta has been doing that since
Oh
2016, so.
yeah, I feel like she has like fantasy guns, whereas like the thing about the characters in Persona 5 is that they go to I think Shibuya, to like this underground alley, like back alley airsoft shop in Shibuya, and they buy airsoft guns from this guy. But then when they take them into the metaverse using an app on their phone, they slip into the metaverse, they become real guns.
Okay, then.
And like I enjoy Persona a lot. And one of the cool things that they did in Smash was they gave Joker a grappling hook, and everyone was like, why does he have a grappling hook? And then they announced Persona 5 R, which is the Persona 5 Royal or Royale, which is like, they did, it's like that middle, like that definitive edition of Persona, which they've done for 3 and they've done for 4, and now they're finally doing it for 5, where they're adding a character, and they're adding things to the dungeons. And one of the things that Joker can now do is he can use a grappling hook to get around the dungeons. So they obviously informed Nintendo of that was coming down the line. And while this isn't a, they haven't announced a Switch version of Persona 5 R, they at least were like, hey, he's gonna have a grappling hook. You can put that in the game. You can put that in Smash.
Yeah, that's cool, and it's I personally, as a person who is very familiar and plays a lot of Smash, even if I'm not like a hardcore competitive guy, even though I take playing the game moderately seriously, I try to be competent at it. His grappling hook is not a very good recovery, but I feel like they make up for that when he uses his persona and then he can fucking fly, basically, which is a lot like Cloud, where he has his limit break where it jacks up all of his abilities. Although the difference being where with Cloud, you fall off a side, if your limit break is full, you can do your up B and fly up way farther than you would normally, but that only happens once. With Joker, you have a meter that slowly drains, and you could do that multiple times and do all kinds of crazy shit with your persona, beefing up all your abilities, which I think is what sets him apart from that.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's pretty cool. I tried to I played through his classic mode, and then I tried to unlock his spirits mode, which I'm still working on. I'm not like, I have probably played his DLC, played with his character for like a combined 2 hours tops.
Yeah, I could see that. But you mentioned before, like the whatever Persona 5 R. I don't know if that's going to come to Switch or not, but I thought it was interesting how the other day they announced Persona 5 Scramble, the Phantom Strikers, as I'm reading here, which I never would have guessed would have been a Musou game, as they call it, which is like a Dynasty Warriors type game, like Dynasty Warriors or Hyrule Warriors or Fire Emblem Warriors. And that immediately caught my interest and kind of even further solidified my curiosity in Persona 5, because I grew up playing Dynasty Warriors here and there. It was a lot of fun. And now as an adult playing Hyrule Warriors, which is the better, I feel like is what I should expect more of from Persona 5 Scramble, because it's like, obviously Hyrule Warriors is a Dynasty Warriors type game, but it's also an obnoxiously over the top, hyper stylized Zelda fan service bullshit, amazing, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just over the top. So I feel like if you're a Persona 5 fan, you should hopefully expect this to be just as much of a love letter to Persona as Hyrule Warriors is to Zelda.
Yeah, which has me excited about it. I would love to pick that up. My only the only thing I would be like, apprehensive about is like I don't really want to pay $60 for it. I'm sure it'll probably be a full retail price game.
Hyrule Warriors was, so.
Yeah,
And that
so
was the third release of that game on Switch, so.
I don't think I'll hop on it as like a pre-order, but it's gonna be, it's gonna have its own special edition that might have cool stuff, but I don't know. Those games can be like the ones I played in the past were kind of boring, but I've never played one that was specifically themed to a game that I actually do really enjoy. So I don't know, but I think my what I expect for full retail price is like changing these days, and like I don't know if we talked about it on the show. Probably not. There was a direct where they announced a remake for Link's Awakening.
No, that happened around the same time that they announced Smash 3.0. Remember, like back in February, I think it
Okay,
was,
yeah, so we weren't
or
recording
March
that then.
even. Yeah, no.
They announced a remake of Game Boy
Game Boy
Advance
Advance
game,
game,
right?
right?
Link's
Link's Awakening
Awakening
Game Boy
and
Color.
Game Boy Color. And
Yeah.
it
It
looks
looks
so
so
good
good graphically.
graphically. I was instantly drawn to it because it kind of
It's
has
a
like a
very unique style. It's like dolls, little toy dolls.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
it's
like
like
a
a,
almost
almost
like
like
a
a
claymation,
claymation,
like a toy look
like
to it.
hyper stylized.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
really
really
like
like
the
the
way
way
it
it
looks.
looks.
Never
Never
thought
thought
that
that
it
it
was
was
going
going
to
to
be
be
a
a full
full MSRP
MSRP
$60
$60
game.
game.
Maybe
Maybe
that's
that's
just
just
me.
me.
Maybe
Maybe
that's
that's
just
just
me.
me.
But
But
like
like
from
from
the
the
trailer,
trailer,
I
I
just
just
was
was
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
they're
they're
doing
doing
like
like
a
a
quick
quick
little
little remake.
remake.
It's
It's not
not
going
going
to
to
be
be
a
a
huge
huge
deal.
deal.
It'll
It'll
be
be
20
20
bucks
bucks
on
on
Switch.
Switch. Well, I hope so, but at the same time, like I know that like it's changed because when the original Link's Awakening came out, whether it be the original Game Boy version or the Game Boy Color Link's Awakening DX that they did, or even the re-release on the 3DS eShop, those games before were like, Game Boy games were like $30 back in the day,
Yeah.
and this is going to be the same game even if it is completely remade. So I just like, I agree that I just can't see it, even though it probably will be being a full $60 title, unless they cram a whole lot of new shit into it on the side.
Well, I
Well, I
did
did
see
see
it
it
listed
listed
for
for
pre-order
pre-order
on
on
GameStop
GameStop
for
for
60
60
bucks,
bucks,
and
and
I'm
I'm
like,
like, right,
damn,
damn,
like
like
I
I
really
really
want
want
to
to
play
play
it,
it,
because
because
I
I
do
do
enjoy
enjoy
Zelda
Zelda
way
way
more
more
than
than
I
I
used
used
to
to
ever
ever
since
since
Breath
Breath
of
of
the
the
Wild,
Wild,
but
but
I
I
don't
don't
want
want
to.
to. I'm
I'm
really
really
trying
trying
to
to like
like
pick
pick
out
out
a
a
couple
couple
full
full
price
price
like
like
$60
$60
launch
launch
games,
games,
your
your day
day one
one
launch
launch
titles
titles
like
like
a
a
year
year
at
at
this
this
point.
point. Yeah.
I
Anything,
anything
the
the economy
economy for
for gaming
gaming
has
has
a
a
weird
weird
ebb
ebb
and
and
flow
flow
to
to
it
it,
where
where
obviously
obviously
like
like there's
there's
this
the
the
standard
standard
price
price
of
of
$60
$60
for
for
like
like
AAA
AAA
title
title
these
these
days,
days,
and
and
that
that
drops
drops
off
off
immediately,
immediately
like
like
almost
almost
2 weeks
2 weeks
after
after
release
release
to
to
like
like
a
a $40
$40 price
price
point.
point.
Some
Some
games
games
though,
though,
especially
especially
Nintendo
Nintendo
games,
games,
they
they
hold
hold
their
their
value
value
at
at
like
like
that
that
60
60
bucks.
bucks. Hell, Mortal Kombat 11 came out the other day, and I'll get into that in a minute, but I know it's already on sale, despite
Yeah.
being a success. Like,
Right,
right,
exactly.
exactly.
Despite
Despite
being
being
a
a success,
success, it's
it's
already
already
on
on
sale.
sale.
And
And
I
I
just
just
feel
feel
like,
like,
I
I
need
need
to
to
be
be
careful
careful
with
with
the
the
amount
amount
of
of
new
new
releases
releases
I
I
buy
buy
during
during
the
the
year
year
at
at
60
60
bucks
bucks
a
a
pop.
pop.
And
And
the
the
easy
easy
thing
thing
to
to
do
do
is
is
just
just
wait
wait
a
a
couple
couple
weeks
weeks
and
and
snipe
snipe
it
it
at
at
like
like
47,
47,
which
which
is,
is,
the
the
common
common
like
like
2 week
2 week
later
later
price.
price. Exactly. And again, I guess I'll just go right into it with Mortal Kombat 11. Like that came out last week, and that going into that was very interesting, at least for me. And I want to say people may agree with me on this, where it was like I was really excited for it from the moment they announced it at the Game Awards last year at the end of December. And like, like a week or so ago, I'm sitting there like, yeah, Mortal Kombat's coming out. I'm like, wait, it's literally coming out next week. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking to myself, I think that I can't even wrap my head around that because I'm really not used to a, I guess what you would call a triple A title coming out less than 6 months after it was revealed. and not being like a rush game. Like, clearly they have been working on it for a long time, but they chose not to announce it until the last 6 months, which was honestly kind of a refreshing way to go about it, because they marketed the game the same way they did Mortal Kombat X, where they did their combat casts, they showed up modes, they revealed characters, the breakdowns, just kind of teased you as they went along, but it went over a much shorter time period where before you knew it, the game was out.
Yeah, I remember back when Bethesda, I think their first E3 press conference announced Fallout 4 in June, and it was out in November. So, like, that's happening. It happens once in a while with AAA titles, and it's a really good thing because it keeps the hype the whole time. And Mortal Kombat 11 might have even been faster than June to November.
It was about 4 months, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, that's
it was
really
announced
fast.
On December 6th, came out on April 26th. Or not, April 23rd, sorry.
Yeah, that's very fast. Yeah, that's really cool. And that's a nice month. You know, a nice part in the time of the year to release something. A nice safe spot.
Yeah, they did the announcement reveal at the Game Awards, and then maybe a month and a half later, they did the official community reveal where they had a nice little event where they showed off the game, announced the character, you know, they're like, oh, here's Ronda Rousey playing Sonya, that's cool, here's some gameplay, here's a few characters, teased another one for that, and then they went into their cycle of doing combat casts, and I'm like, that's awesome. I would like to see more of that from other companies.
Yeah.
Now, as for the game itself, though, I kind of want to wait till the next time to fully go into it, because I haven't really played a ton of it outside of the story mode, but I can tell you that from day one, the story mode was really good. NetherRealm always knocks it out of the fucking park with the story mode in their games, whether it be Mortal Kombat or Injustice, at least as of 2011 Mortal Kombat, like I guess what they call Mortal Kombat 9. Between then and in Mortal Kombat X or Injustice, Injustice 2, like their stories are always so well written, so well executed, where, you know, you basically watch all these long cutscenes and they kind of flow seamlessly into the fights that you play. And some of the games, different games, give you different options. Like, for example, in Mortal Kombat 11, there are certain cutscenes where you'll have two characters in the scene, and then when obviously the fight is coming up, they give you the option, do you want to play as Liu Kang or Kung Lao? And then the next fight, they'll give you the option again. So it's like, maybe the first fight, why don't I pick Liu Kang? I like Liu Kang. I'll play Liu Kang. Next fight, you know, I can play again as Liu Kang, or when a cutscene comes up, it gives me a little option. I can switch to Kung Lao.
That's pretty cool.
And I don't think that really affects the story anyway, but it definitely gives you a lot more variety. And they can, you know, each chapter tends to focus on a character, whereas now it can focus on two characters potentially, where it can be like, oh, chapter one, you know, Cassie Cage, or like chapter two, Sub-Zero and Scorpion or whatever, which I think was really cool. And the story itself was, you know, really kind of hokey time travel nonsense, but Mortal Kombat's never been super serious, even though it kind of pretends like it is really serious, but it was very enjoyable and I loved every second of it. And, you know, there's a lot of time travel nonsense in that, which is fun, but I haven't really gotten into a lot of the other aspects of the game. Like, I went into the crypt. The crypt is not a new thing, even though it's being done a little differently, where it's kind of like its own separate little smaller game where you kind of travel around a map as this, you know, nobody character, and like you'll go around, open up chests to get rewards, whether it be like bonus skins, cosmetic items, abilities, fatalities, like, you know, shit like concept art. But rather than previous games where you just kind of go and buy it and get it, now you go and while it's still randomized, you can walk around, open up chests, find secrets, you'll pick up items that give you different abilities to help you unlock new areas of the crypt, which is cool. And that kind of ties into the customization option, which they've been kind of going into hard on this, which is kind of like a hybrid of where Injustice 2 was with its gear system and Mortal Kombat X was with its character variations, which as of right now, I'm not a huge fan of, because it just seems overly complicated, and I'd rather just have three distinct versions of my character that I can then add a whole bunch of cosmetic options onto if I wanted to, rather than have to worry about unlocking all these different pieces and then figuring out how and when I can piece together my character's fucking loadout. Rather, I just rather just play the game. And I know it's really early on, and I haven't really done a whole lot with it, but I was a skeptic from the start, and I'm still super skeptic of it, even though I've kind of dipped my toe in the water.
Yeah. But overall, enjoying it.
Overall enjoyable. The graphics are beautiful. The gameplay is phenomenal. The fighting is so solid. It always has been, even in Mortal Kombat X. Like, I thought Mortal Kombat X was easily probably the best fighting game of this decade. And then right at the end of the decade, they're like, here's Mortal Kombat 11 that's even better. Because it plays better. it's a little different, but it's better. And the graphics are better. They're much more vibrant and colorful, where I realized that Mortal Kombat X, as much as I love it, was a very dark, kind of bland looking color palette wise, whereas this game, the blood, you know, if you're into that, is so bright red and vibrant. All the characters, like costumes and backgrounds, they're all much more bright and colorful, which is nice to see.
Yeah. So if you're like a doctor or a surgeon or, you know, a police officer, there's going to be a lot of blood for you to enjoy.
Yeah, and even if you just, you know, because I feel like people make the wrong assumption in saying that the over-the-top violence is the focus of Mortal Kombat when it really, really isn't. Like, it's there, and it's really obnoxious and fun. I find it so hard to take that obnoxious level of violence seriously. Right. It's just so silly, and I love that about it. But, I mean, it's really not what people assume it is if they've never played a Mortal Kombat game, which I think is fun because, like, the... You know, it's really silly and it's fun. And it's just, you know, I'm just kind of rambling at this point. But yeah, I highly recommend it. Despite the fact that the questionable gear system and apparently there's some microtransaction stuff that I haven't really found my way into yet. And, you know, grindy unlocks. But that's the nature of gaming in 2019. So at this point, it's like, fuck it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the microtransaction thing, you know, some are better suited for, you know, certain audiences, and that's just how it is, and that's how it's
like
going.
Like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I started playing Elder Scrolls Blades. That finally.
All
came
right.
Out. After all those delays, I finally came out, and I've pretty much kind of.
Wait, is it out, or are you still in early access?
It's early access, but dude, can we stop? Like fucking, you know, it's not. I'm just so sick of the early access thing.
No, fucking Fortnite still says early access when you play it, so...
Right, like, if your game is out, your game's out. It's not an early access. People aren't accessing it early. It's out. There's no gate between who has access and who doesn't. When they slowly let people in, that's one thing. Or if they let pre-orders in, you know, that's an early access. When there's a gated community who has access early... That's early access. When your game is accessible by everybody, it's not early access anymore. The shit's just out.
Yeah. Especially with a free-to-play game. Like, Blades has a price of entry, right?
No, Blades is free.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it did. As I was trying to compare it to directly again to Fortnite, but... I don't know.
There are a lot of... especially on Steam, there's a lot of early access that you can buy your way into.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times it's a pre-order bonus, honestly.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So, anyways, as far as Elder Scrolls Blades goes, I was so excited for it. And it's a neat little game. It looks amazing on an iPhone 7, and I'm sure it looks even better on later models. But it's just, like, missing that, like, Elder Scrolls charm. It's got the characters and, you know, the races and the classes and... Well, I guess not really classes. You don't play a class in most Elder Scrolls games. But it's got, like, the gear that I'm used to and the, you know, the sort of, like, it's got all that Elder Scrolls, like, lore, and it's got the enemy types, and it's got the items. Everything, it's got the whole ecosystem that I'm used to. But at the end of the day, it's just this, like, kind of boring town builder where... They are encouraging, you know, they're trying to coax you into paying for gems to unlock chests and all this shit. And it's just, you know, it's got all that free-to-play nonsense going on. It's a mobile game. It's something fun to play when I want to play an Elder Scrolls game, but I can't because I'm at work or something. Like,
yep, and especially when the only one you have that's currently relevant, unless you're the person that will play Skyrim for the rest of their lives, you can try to play ESO, but I know that Elder Scrolls 6 probably won't be out for a very long time, and it's going to be one of those games that I feel like it's just going to be like they announced it or kind of just teased it, and then you won't hear about it forever. Like for example, the best one I can think of off the top of my head would be the Final Fantasy VII Remake, where it's like hype as fuck, but then it just kind of disappeared from existence, even though it probably is actively being developed, but you don't hear any updates on it.
Right.
And I think it'll probably be one of those things that you'll hear about, maybe not this year or next year, but it'll become one of those games that they'll tease you every year on at E3, like with the games that are now out now, like Anthem, and Days Gone, where they hyped them up and talked about them ad nauseum at all the major events for the past 2, 3 years. Then they both came out and were like, eh. Not to say
Oh.
that's what the Elder Scrolls is going to be like, but I feel like you and I both early on, if anybody had heard us talk about either Anthem or Days Gone in past episodes or on streams when we were watching E3 stuff, we were both dismissed them from the start, and I feel like we were both right to do so because Days Gone came out yesterday, and it had, or no, 2 days ago, it had like the most lukewarm reception. Like, it's cool, but there's not a whole lot to it. And Anthem apparently was a disaster. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
that's
something
something that,
that, anyone who's listening to this, we appreciate it. You're free to listen to any podcast you want. Most of them are free anyway. But there was definitely something going on. We call our show The Industry Outsiders because we're not involved. We're not getting paid to write reviews on games, and we're not going to industry events, and our friends aren't making games. And we'll say what we want about them. And reading the tea leaves on Anthem and Days Gone, we were both like, these games look like crap. And there was such a huge response to these games
Well, no,
from the
that's the thing.
industry.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, I guess Days Gone not so much, but Anthem was a game that looked larger than life every time you saw it when they would talk about it. I'm like, there's no way this game can be that, like what that is during the HUDless scripted gameplay you see people do at E3 press conferences. I'm like, okay, this looks way better than it ever actually will be.
Right, and I couldn't understand where the excitement was coming from for these games. But yeah, and like you said, more so Anthem than Days Gone. But it was like anytime I listen to a podcast, which obviously I don't listen to our podcast, I listen to a lot of IGN podcasts, I listen to Kind of Funny Games, I listen to Sacred Symbols, Colin Moriarty's podcast, Game Informer, GamesIndustry.biz, and there was just, from most of them, excluding the Colin Moriarty podcast, there was nothing but huge hype for Anthem. And
I'm sucking EA's dick.
yeah, I just
Is it
don't
EA?
understand that. I don't understand that because,
That's they gotta do, honestly. That's their, like, they have to do that if you're that big, like, to stay on the good side of the developers so they'll keep cooperating with you, I assume, right? I mean, I'm just assuming that.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's like, they're trying to stay on the hook for exclusive content, reveals and stuff, or some of them, these people host their like panels and shit, and it's like, damn, you were playing these games. You went behind closed doors, and even if you signed an NDA, you can't see the trailer that just everything was not looking promising. And you can pick that up. And these people could pick that up too. They knew that game wasn't going to be good, but they just built it up and built it up when the reception from actual gamers, like no one was even buying what they were trying to sell us on Anthem. Everyone
Yeah,
kind
and
of
this
felt like it was going to be bad. And I even played the beta, and the beta was a disaster.
Yeah, and I mean, I can sit here and shit talk this game whether before or was after it was out, because that was just my opinion on how it came off to me. And like in talking about the way that they go about like marketing this game, whether it be through these major outlets like IGN and stuff, bitching about them, quote unquote, like I said, sucking EA's dick or whatever. Like, whenever I say things like that, I almost feel like I come off as the person I was shitting on before, as the people who will hate on games or influencers just because they are successful. And like, I don't want to act like, okay, I know that there's an industry, obviously you can't hear, we're the outsiders here, we're just the average people. Like, I know that there's a way that it goes. And I know that there's a lot of money probably being exchanged, and just, they got to stay on the good side, like I said. But I would just appreciate some honesty. Like, I understand why they do what they do, but I would like to just be straightforward with it and not until after the game comes out and you give it like a 6.5 review. At that point, I may, depending on what the game is, I may have already bought it because you guys built it up and then it ended up being garbage. And you're like, hey, yeah, you know what? It isn't good.
Yeah, there's a level of responsibility that needs to be taken by these people who have access to way more than what the average person does, like you and I. I would love anyone who's listening to this show to be able to trust our opinion, but we're not being invited to play Anthem behind closed doors. Like, all I can do is watch the trailer. Expect to, ever. Yeah, right. And, we have our own careers. Like, I'm not going to, regardless of, any offer that may have come our way, like, I would love to freelance, write about games, but I'm not going to quit my job that I have a good job. I'm not going to leave it to go work in the games industry, because all I ever hear about that is like, it's a constant layoff and it's a who battle of fucking whose ass you can kiss that I don't want to be involved in, because I don't need to be involved in that to make a living while we're talking about games.
Yeah, basically the way I look at it is, I, as much as I want to talk about it and maybe trying to do some cool stuff with it, I want my gaming to be a hobby rather than my job.
Right.
Like, or whether it be gaming or this or whatever, whether we stream or we, do blogs, podcast, whatever the fuck. I don't want that to feel like it's a second job. I want it to be something I can do that I can enjoy.
Yeah. And that's also a side note, why there's been gaps in what we've been doing, because it's industry outsiders. We started this, coming up on 2 years.
2017?
In May 2017. And,
now it's
going to be May next week, 2019. And it grew much bigger and faster than I really thought it could.
We hit the ground running, and then I feel like we slowed down.
Burnout set in. Because when we were getting more listeners, we were just doing a podcast, we started to improve our quality, and we were streaming more on Twitch. We became Twitch affiliates pretty fast. We started a YouTube channel. And then I think once YouTube got involved, it was like, oh shit, we need to...
We felt obligated.
Yeah, hit all these marks, do unboxing videos, do video reviews, do like... Do videos that require editing, and now the editing
production
takes
value.
That's what it was. Trying to ramp up production value and have an opinion on every new thing that came out, play every beta, stream every beta. And then all of a sudden, open the floodgates for fucking codes, which still I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to try like all these indie games and stuff. And sometimes not even indie games. I wanted a code for Dragon's Lair Trilogy on Switch when the Wii came out, and I literally just asked for it and got it.
That's crazy.
So that, that's like a dream come true for me, to have that level of access, but with that, comes great responsibility, and it was just like, we're in the middle of shopping for houses, buying a house, moving, and setting things up and doing all this shit and trying to juggle. I started the blog, and our blog got more views in its first month than our YouTube channel and Twitch and podcast did in an entire year.
That's crazy. I didn't. You told me that, but I don't remember hearing that, and that's crazy.
That was a new beast, because it was kind of like, I was working a lot of overtime to do the house purchase, and one thing I could do when I came home at the end of the day was write about a game quick and pop that out faster than I could edit a video, do a Twitch stream, or anything. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure how I got on this rant, but we mostly just want to give you our honest opinion. And
I feel like sometimes with us specifically, given what we're talking about, I just noticed that sometimes you and I specifically can come off as very negative about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to just assume that we're just going to shit on everything, because while we do shit on a lot of things, that we're just being honest about it.
Yeah, and there's so much we love. And we talk about games. We talk to each other about games every single day, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a shame when burnout sets in and industry outsiders starts to become a job or started to become a job. And that's why it took away from actually recording a weekly podcast, which was like our bread and butter and our way of accessing a lot of people and giving out our honest opinions.
Plus, I feel like, you know, you when you kind of have that eye-opening moment where you realize that, like, when you're playing games, you're thinking more about covering the game rather than just enjoying it.
Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, I have to cover this game, and then I got to cover these other 10 games. And it just became we weren't going to make our own IGN.com out of this, but it got to the point where I was like, holy shit, like, we need staff if we're going to make this more of what it
And
is.
that has yet to work out, unfortunately, but we'll see what
Right.
happens, I guess. I mean, because we're just, I feel like we're just kind of taking baby steps here to try to get back to what we might want to do. I know you're doing the blog, but I feel like we both, like, I wasn't really much of a help with that, and I felt bad about it because but I was just like, I don't know if I can, like, obviously I love doing the podcast and streaming is fun, but it's like, I was like, I'm a game, I play games, I love games, but I don't really like to review them. So it's like, I'll talk about it, but I don't really know how valid my, it's basically like, rather than just being critical about it, it's just my own personal opinion, which might not always line up with the way somebody may expect their review to be. But at the same time, I still love talking about this shit. Like,
Yeah, and that's why, you know, for the listeners, it's important for us to get back to podcasting, hopefully weekly, to just, you know, bang out a podcast for the sake of shooting the shit about games, because that, you know, encompasses everything we're taking in during the week and months behind the scenes. It's easier to get it out in a podcast, and if people are willing to listen, then that takes, you know, deadlines and all this shit off of our plate, because we can just deliver the message. People can do what they want with it. You know, hopefully they would learn our tastes, and if they agree or disagree with us, they can learn, you know, an unbiased opinion on whatever game they might be interested in picking up.
Exactly. And one thing I would love to see, and I feel like I said this a lot earlier on, is like, whether you, like, if you agree with us, or even if you disagree with us, I think it'd be cool to hear about it. Like, I mean, we never really got to that point, I feel like. I know we had people listening, but I don't know if we ever really engaged with our audience or if they engaged with us. But it's like, I would love to hear from people, you know, once we get rolling again. If you disagree with us or you agree with us, I would like to know what you feel and why. I think that'd be fun. But I'm getting ahead of myself with that, but it's definitely what it's on my mind.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, we would like to hear from our audience. For anything, you can ask us a question. You can give us a question to read on our show. You know, whatever. But really, only, you know, seldom did we hear from our audience. And except for that time that I said Monster Hunter World sucked, what I heard from a bunch of people.
All-time great moments in
Yeah.
industry outside history.
But aside
You
from
were
all
in rough
that,
shape when that game came out, just like me when Far Cry came out.
oh yeah, I had the flu for like a week, and then I played the game for like 13 something hours, and I was like, no, I hate this. I'm gonna say it sucks. People were pissed. You know, everyone's just like, just because you fucking said it sucked, you're playing it wrong.
You know, it doesn't suck though. It was us. Like, honestly,
Yeah, well, you know, like I
everybody
said.
loves it and love it for a reason. It just didn't work for us, and I understand that. But
Yeah.
we were both just kind of like, especially you, were just like not having it at that time.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, like you said, it's the same thing when Far Cry 4 or 5 came out, and you were like sick and miserable when you decided to play it.
And I was babysitting my cousin's obnoxious dog. It was driving me crazy, and I was like, I have no patience for this right now.
Yeah. But, you know, so that's what that is, and that's probably a good place to wrap the show. The only thing I want to say was that going back to your thing about Square. And like Final Fantasy VII. So Sony announced that they're not going to be at E3 this year. They've also released some PlayStation 5 details, but you can go look up the article on Wired.com. We won't get into it, but you know, they announced some of the specs in a kind of a weird fashion because they typically do like a theatrical reveal for something like that, but they didn't.
Yeah, and honestly, it didn't really leave any impact on me at all because, like, you can spit specs at me all day and it's just going to bounce off me because I have no idea what any of it means. I
Yeah.
just want to see what it looks like and what kind of games are going to be on it, and that's how you're going to win me over. I mean, I'm going to get in on it regardless when it comes out, but it's like, that's not what's going to get me hyped. I need to see it to believe it rather than just being told numbers because I don't care how many flops your system has, even though that was something I made fun of Microsoft for, but you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of point you were getting at with that, but I'll let you continue.
I was just saying, I mean, on our next episode, next week, hopefully, we can kind of shoot the shit about E3, being only like 6 weeks out at that point,
Yeah.
we can talk about what we think is going to happen there. But Microsoft's still going to be there. So Sony's not going to be there, but Square Enix took Sony's spot, which I think is really interesting because Square Enix only did like a 25-minute long direct last year, and this year they've got Sony's like hour and a half prime time, 9 p.m. Eastern spot. So I would expect to
Yeah,
see some
I have
Final
some
Fantasy.
ideas for what we might see there too, so.
But
Which I guess we
beyond
won't talk
that,
about today.
was that?
So I guess I but I would probably guess we wouldn't won't talk about that today, but I definitely do have some ideas and theories about what Square Enix is going to do at that time.
Yeah, we should save it for next week. And if anyone's
Yeah.
listening, we really appreciate it. And you can write us an email to industryoutsiders@gmail.com and send us what you think is going to go down at E3 or why maybe Sony's not going to be there. Or, I think we're going to hear from Sony the week of E3, but it just won't be at E3. I don't know if that'll be in direct form or not. But I think, Microsoft's going to get a big open window to announce whatever they want to announce, and I think Sony's gonna still have something to drop during that week to muffle the sound of what Microsoft's gonna put out there.
Yeah, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, they feel like they're going to just disrupt the flow of what's going on, but that they're not directly involved with, and be like, look. And then they're going to probably further solidify, at least what I feel, is that E3 is very quickly becoming irrelevant. Even though it's still a spectacle, like, that's all it is now.
Yes, and if you don't think that Sony will try to step on Microsoft's toes the week of E3, even though they said they're not going to be at E3, you should know that the Microsoft SAD edition, Xbox Digital All Digital Edition, was announced the same day that Sony released their PlayStation 5 specs.
Was it? I didn't know that.
The exact
Huh.
same day, hours apart.
That's wonderful.
Which I love. Which I love talking about. I love talking about, the quote unquote console wars. It's like my favorite thing. So definitely going to talk about that next weekend, about 6 weeks out from E3. If you subscribe to us on YouTube, that's awesome. If you would like to subscribe to us on YouTube, this podcast is just going to be audio because Josh is having a webcam issue. But we're going to continue, in the future to be doing video for the podcast. We're on Podomatic, we're on iTunes for just the audio listeners. We really appreciate anyone who's around. We're also on Twitch, Industry Outsiders, streaming here and there. I've been streaming a ton of indies, still checking out a ton of codes.
Yeah, but I'm hoping to get back onto that. I have to hash out some technical things that I have going on between my webcam and the fact that since I got my new computer, I've only been working with one monitor and I haven't had access to my capture card because one of the HDMI ports, two HDMI ports inside my PC is not lined up correctly.
Oh
So
no.
I have somebody that can help me fix that. Just got to nudge it, open it up and, realign it, which is annoying given that I paid $1,200 for this computer and the HDMI port's not fucking great. But
Yeah.
I try not to be mad about it because I know it's, well, I'm not comfortable doing it myself. I know it's an easy fix, but yeah, that happened.
That's awful. That sucks.
In the webcam, but that I'll figure out and probably have to buy a new one, but it's whatever.
So, we're back. This is episode one of season two, I guess.
Yeah, right around our 2 year anniversary too, which is fun. So
And we're happy to be back. So we want to talk about games, and we also want to hear from you. So thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening to us. This is Matt Lowry, and with me has been Josh Hensel.
Later, fam.
And we'll see you next week.